You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On this Tuesday afternoon, let's check the agricultural futures markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, for this 13th day of May, 2014. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What happened in Chicago today?
Well, you know, we saw a little precursor. We're going off the board tomorrow at noon with the May contracts. You know, saw corn up 5.25 and the May beans up 19. So a little bit of a precursor there on what's going to maybe see a little bit of fireworks in the old May crop because there's a little bit tightness of cash beans out there right now. But all in all, it was sort of a quiet day. Otherwise, we were on the upside in the beans and the corn, but not very exciting in the corn. And, of course, the wheat was under a lot of pressure. And I guess that has to be the world stocks as we look at things because our crop just doesn't look that good.
Our crop does not look that good, and USDA yesterday said it's not in very good shape either. Though, when you look back to last year, it was in about the same condition, if I remember right, from the overall numbers. I'm wondering, will the trade react too quickly to the conditions across the United States for the wheat? And what happens to that crop if it actually gets harvested?
Well, I think that basically if it's in poor shape, and depending on how it comes out, it might become feed wheat rather than milling wheat. And, you know, we'll look for that to sort of be back in competition, sort of like we were with corn year in 12 when we were short of corn and feeding a lot of wheat. So, but I think that it will get fed. It won't just get thrown away. But all in all, that could be some competition to corn.
Well, it could be some competition for corn. Will it put pressure on the upside potential of corn?
You know, it not right away, but I think it can down the road a little bit. That might sort of pop in how the summer finishes out if we have some bad wheat that have to come into the feed markets instead of that. Also, you know, will it go into the world feed markets? Will it go into our local feed markets?
When you consider the USDA's numbers from last Friday for corn, and we're beginning to think a little more deeply about the changes it made, in particular the exports up 150 million bushels for corn, yet down 200 from that for next year. What does it tell you?
Well, I think it tells you that the rest of the world is looking at some pretty good numbers for carryouts. It's not just the U.S. that's looking to increase some of their production. You know, we're talking about China now is going to be auctioning off some corn in the coming weeks. They had a very successful bean auction last night. More than what everybody was anticipating they would do. And, you know, we're seeing more corn produced in Argentina, Brazil, and everywhere around like that. So just maybe everybody isn't going to be in the shape to want to be buying as much corn. Remember, we started off with a pretty deficit to start the year off, and we were able to really push some of the early months of the corn sales off really good.
In a couple minutes here, we'll listen to state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota talk about the numbers that were released yesterday afternoon for crop progress reports and where they stand. What do you think about the condition of the crop for corn, soybeans, and I know the condition really isn't in there, but the number of acres that have been planted, what's left to plant, and who's really behind the bait ball at this time? If anybody.
Well, of course, the ones behind the eight ball is Michigan, northern Minnesota, the Dakotas, and northern Iowa parts out there that are hurting. And there's a lot of acres yet to be planted there. There was 15.3 million acres of corn intended to be planted in North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And only 4.1 has been done of that. So that leaves us about 11 million acres left to plant. And those are the areas where it's been cool, it's been wet. And, you know, it's coming up to the time where we got to see something turn around to get that ground planted, or we're going to lose some acres up there to beans, I think.
Now, let me ask a different question. Now, even if we lose the acres up there to beans, what's the likelihood that they just have corn sitting in the bin and they wouldn't manage it with it anyway?
Well, I think that one of the things we know for sure is there's a lot of areas in the Dakotas that were not able to sell or ship much corn because the trains were in such demand for the crude oil. So I think that that's going to be okay. But I think that we could end up losing a few acres to corn up there that go to the beans. But all in all, I think that the rest of the U.S. is getting in and maybe putting a few acres, more acres of corn in. And let's stop and think. What we lose up there might be made up by those acres that were prevent plant a year ago that will come back into production this year.
Are we sideways from here, friendly or bearish for corn?
I think for right now, until we can see a little more weather, we're probably more in a choppy sideways range with a little bit of downward bias.
What do you think about the potential for the exports to continue to move as quickly as they have, and can we actually make that 1.9 billion bushels we just talked about?
That's going to be a lofty goal to achieve in my world, Todd. I think that we're going to see increased pressure coming from South America to keep us in that market, and staying at higher prices is going to make it a lot harder to get there.
Lead option May soybeans are still above $15 a bushel, but they're going off the board too.
They go off the board tomorrow at noon, 15:02 3/4. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see if they close above that $15 mark to leave where the July has to come up to or whatever for continuation chart.
And there is a 20-cent gap in between those two. Which way will it go, up or down?
I think that for a while here, until we see some more exports to the U.S. or imports to the U.S. from South America, we're probably going to stay on the high side for the nearby month.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to add on the livestock before I let you go?
You know, the livestock, we see a little sell-off now and then, like in the hogs, but overall the meat market's going to continue to stay very strong.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between, not long after it airs on our radio station. In fact, the times that you will find at willag.org are not the broadcast schedule times, but the time they're posted to our website. Those are normally about 5 after the hour. Commodity Week, I have not changed the time on yet, is up by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now that we record and go live just after the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons. By the way, our guest this week, I just scheduled today, Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group. He'll be able to talk to us a little bit about those Dakotas, he always does, and how far along the folks in northern Illinois might be with their planting. Gulke is on our Commodity Week program this Friday afternoon.